Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here for today's show, Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Another busy day. It's been a busy week of sports stuff in the old Pueblo, or Tucson, as we like to call it. That was kind of reverse, wasn't it? Big show today. Let me kind of preview it real quick. At 1:15, we're going to talk to Robbie Wilson. He's a guard slash forward slash everything for Pima men's basketball. I saw them play last week. Pretty impressed with how he plays. He's kind of like a jack of all trades. Went to South Point a couple years ago, played on the football team, and now playing basketball for Pima and Brian Peabody. It should be a good, fun interview for about 15 minutes. At 1:30 or 1:32-ish, we're going to talk to Shane Dale of ABC 15. He kind of works, with the station that kind of created a little mess, if you will, with Sean Miller's press conference yesterday. I thought it was much to do about nothing, but we'll kind of explain why I think it is that way and get Shane's impression of what's happening in Phoenix because of that press conference. We'll talk more about that later. And then at the 2 o'clock hour, we have good friend and former U of A basketball player Ben Davis coming on for about a half hour talking about the good old days of his basketball days here at U of A, what he's up to now. He's been a two-year guy with our Lute Olson Fantasy Camp, and he's fantastic in some of the things that we do. We talk about Lute and the players do and how he affected them. And he had like a 10-minute speech, and we couldn't get him off the stage. I was like, oh, thank you. And he would continue. Oh, thank you. And he would continue. I stopped after like 7 minutes. He was great. Almost to tears. But we'll talk about that. He'll laugh about it. But I wanted to say, I got an email yesterday from a listener. Yes, we have that one or two. George, he called to see, I can't remember. I think I said this on Monday. I talked a little about the new indoor stadium that they have, $16.5 million, fits about 4,000, 5,000 people in there for like tailgates, and things like that before football games and other activities that they could probably, do for festivities, maybe award ceremonies or whatever for students. But it's primarily obviously for football and the sports that go on. We talked a little about it, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic place. I don't know how it compares to others because I haven't been to others. Everyone's kind of building one, state-of-the-art things. Very impressive. You went in there. It was very nice. In fact, I kind of walked with Dave Hickey Sunday night after the game, and I said, it was much overdue, very impressive, and Arizona needs it. Arizona needs it to catch up or to keep up with the Joneses in the sports world.
Mm.
Whether it does or doesn't, I still believe that places like the University of Arizona, ASU, Washington, those schools, New Mexico, stuff like that. If a player wants to play, he'll go there. All that other stuff, it's just kind of shiny objects. And I think it doesn't really lure you there. Anyway, Lute Olson didn't have this stuff. Got pretty good players and did pretty well.
Wasn't it Matt that made the point the other day, though, that would help with recruiting?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. No.
For those that are undecided, you mean?
For those undecided. Let me tell you, and this might be a bad way to do my analogy, but I kind of mess up sometimes.
Something about marriage?
Kind of a relationship. I'm driving my car now. If I drove a Mercedes around or a convertible BMW, I think I'd have a better chance of getting a cuter woman.
Really?
I don't know. I think so. But I don't know how you do it. You do have a convertible BMW.
Yeah, but I had my wife way before.
I figured that's how you got her.
No.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I had a van.
To me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That stuff shouldn't matter, and it, to me, it doesn't. That's just kind of my analogy that makes no sense, probably.
So if you're a single female with a crappy car, Steve's looking out
no,
for you.
my car's just as crappy. What the heck?
Yeah. That's a beautiful car.
Yeah, sure. Don't even talk.
All three wheels.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a motorcycle.
I would never talk about your...
my car.
Thing is.
I had the BMW like you, and those are the good old days. That's why I like talking about it so much.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, well,
Well, the paper was around. Now you hear that a lot of, now you hear it happens every day almost. Newspapers losing writers because they're having cutbacks. Just yesterday, I think the news broke that the Daily Star is having some cutbacks, and we'll have a smaller, thinner newspaper in the city.
Yeah, you got to just go digital. I mean, that's where they got their website.
But the thing is, ad revenue is going to be hurt by it. It's already hurt now, but it's going to hurt big time if they do that.
Well, they make up for that with the obituaries. They get good money for that.
Oh, I know. That's incredible money. Yeah.
It's $20 a word or something.
Yeah, dying is a big business.
yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it is, and they know it.
I was talking about the indoor stadium. So nicer, flashier stuff, I guess, brings people in. To me, that means nothing, because I think if players want to play, they're going to come.
Sure.
Right. No matter if they have this place or not, they came without it. They came without it. Now they're going to come with it more. We'll see.
Well, I would imagine they come with mom and dad and maybe, you know, somebody to help them out. And they look at the area. They look, is it safe? I mean, I'm thinking of Caitlin. You know, they're looking, is the U of A area safe? Can I live? And, whoa, look at this, mom and dad.
Very much so. Very much. And you had to register who you were talking about, Caitlin Schmidt, and the issues that U of A has.
Right.
No question.
What I mean, you know.
I think that's a great point. And that's a valid point. If you're a parent of a kid or a student athlete who has a chance to go somewhere, you want to know what goes on there.
Especially if it's a daughter. Yeah.
You also, especially a daughter or a young man. What you want to know, though, is what I would know, and my son did this. He went to West Virginia to play soccer, is how diligent or caring is that administration for those kids? Because I'm a firm believer. Well, I'm a believer. I'm not sure how firm. That the administrators at schools are in it for themselves to a degree. They may say that they're in it for the student athletes, but I've seen often too many times they're in it for advancement or money or whatever the case may be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not been my impression of the current president that's there, but certainly. Board of Regents looks, they don't, you know, every, it just seems like every year they keep raising the tuition and kind of get to the kids. He sounds like he truly cares about the kids that are there, and you always hear that from the coaches, which is always refreshing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just talk. I'm not talking specifically to Arizona. I'm talking about in general terms.
Right.
In general terms, because you hear a lot of things going on at a number of different universities.
And it's big bucks.
Exactly.
They're very high-paying jobs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of cover-your-butt type of stuff. Many times.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
That's my point. And that's to my point.
And that's what mom and dad and students are looking at. Do we want to tell the neighbors when they go, oh, your son's in college? And they go, yeah, he's at Arizona. They go,
Yeah. And let me tell you something. Over the last few days, and now that you're paying attention to sports more, Bob, there's a lot of negativity coming out of the program, isn't there?
Well, yeah. And I think our friends up north will just add to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey,
but you're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we will. It's already going to be 1:15 here on Wednesday. We're going to get a call from the Pima College basketball program. So let's go to break real quick, and then we can have more time to talk to with Robbie Wilson here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Let's go to the phone line real quick. Robbie, how are you? Robbie Wilson.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Hey, I saw you guys last week. You guys played really well. I think it was Chandler that you guys played against. I love the way you play. I love the way you play. A lot of things. You do a lot of the scoring, some of the scoring, a lot of the passing. What's your role with that team, and what position do you actually have? Because you play a lot of high post.
I'm a stretch five here at Pima. When I move on to the next level, I'll probably be a stretch four. But my role here at Pima is just I try to be a leader. I'm trying to be the leader of the team. Being my second year here, being an older guy, I do some scoring. I do a little bit of everything, but my main role and job is just to lead.
Yeah, cool. I think you do that very well. And you have a lot of great pieces. Carrasco, a lot of the guys do very well, you know, in their roles. Would you say, because you guys are pretty successful with that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we got help. We're a very, very deep team, very talented team. I mean, with the Brom Carrasco, Kennedy Kohler, Rashad Smith, I mean, I could just go on and on with the amount of guys that we have just around each other. And we are very talented, but just overall just a good group of guys to be around all the time.
Right. You can see that there's that chemistry. And I think that Coach Peabody allows you to play the game like you guys love to play the game, up tempo, get everybody involved.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's one of the greatest in Tucson history and the greatest coach I've ever been coached by personally. But, yeah, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get us in the right place to be successful, and he knows who's good for each other and who's not. So,
yeah,
that's why we're here. That's why we're hosting the number one seed this year.
Right. Let me ask you also, and I'll kind of go back and forth with your career, but do you know what you're going to do after Pima?
I don't right now. I have some Division II and NAIA scholarships. I'm not allowed to go D1 because of my age. But I'm holding close to 20 Division II and NAIA scholarships right now. I'm planning to take some visits in April. And yeah, so that's kind of my plan right now.
Okay, so you have a good future ahead of you playing the game.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. It's not clear to me. I know you played football at South Point. Did you play basketball?
Yeah, so I played football all 4 years at South Point. And then at basketball, I only played freshman, sophomore, and then I took my junior year off to kind of focus on football. And then I came back my senior year and played.
Yeah, okay. That's why there was some discrepancy. So why did you decide to stick with basketball and not football?
So I went to a university out of high school, Adams State University.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
I went out there and played football. And I just, my heart was always just been in basketball. It's what I truly love to do. It's easy for me to get in the gym and get shots up or get better and work on my game. And for football, I didn't find that love like I do for basketball. So, I really just decided to get back to basketball. To play for Peabody and just for the love of the game, to be honest.
Yeah, you were going to come home. Durango, I know Durango's a great place to live. It's a nice community. A lot of snow, I assume. I kind of grew up in northern New Mexico, so I know what you were going through up there in terms of the environment. Did you like going to school there?
Oh, absolutely. It was a great experience my year there. I mean, I wouldn't take that year back. I grew up a lot as a person, as an athlete. And did a lot of maturing while I was out there, but I'm glad I got my second chance here at Pima and hopefully get a chance to play in another national championship this year.
Yeah, everyone deserves a second chance, and that in your way, it's more about playing sports and being able to kind of live your dream.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
I was talking to Peabody, I think maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he says, you know, you have your team, he loves his team, he thinks highly of it, and he says, you know, but I have Robert Wilson. He's the guy that kind of sets everybody in line, keeps everybody, mentally in touch because, hey, you don't want to mess with Robert Wilson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what
I mean,
go ahead.
That just comes from, I mean, honestly, football taught me a lot of that, but Coach Peabody just being able to take a step back and giving me a chance to lead. It comes from just him being a veteran coach and understanding that it's got to be player-led and coach-led at the same time. So a lot of that credit goes to Coach Peabody for just giving me that chance to lead the team.
Right, and nobody wants to mess with a 6'7" dude who's, you know, got some nice weight on him and kind of has an authority about him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. So what's next? I know you have a big tournament coming up here trying to get you back to the Nationals. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so we got about a week. We play next Wednesday. It was the first time in Pima history that the men's team got the number one seed and host the ASAC tournament here at Pima. So we'll play next Wednesday against Glendale Community College, who ended up getting the 4 seed. And then hopefully play on Friday if we get a chance to play against either the winner of Chandler Gilbert and Scottsdale. So that's kind of the plan. And then if we win there, we'll go to Danville from there.
Right, right, and kind of relive or try to relive the magic from last year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. You were on the team last year, correct?
Yes, sir, I was.
How was that? How was that for everybody? You guys caught lightning in a bottle and just kind of rode the wave.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a part of the South Point 2013 state championship team, and that was obviously a very special moment for me. But last year's team, we just had, when we talk about like just a bond and a family, I mean, last year it was unreal. I have some brothers on the team that I'll be close with forever. Like you said, lightning in a bottle. It was just, we got hot at the right moment and ended up only losing 5 games the whole year, lost only 4 conference games the whole year. We lost to Phoenix twice in the regular season, having to beat them at their home court in the championship, and just from there on, never looked back and made a little run in the championship. Fell a little short, but that's why we got another chance this year, hopefully.
How does last year's run help you for this year? Now that, you know, you've gone through the year, you had the target on your back, did fairly well with that, and now how does it set you up moving forward?
Oh, it sets us up perfectly. I mean, we're used to our back being against the wall, and Pima's. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, they're always like Pima was the bad team. Pima's the bad team. Now it's like Pima's on top. Now it's time to go make a run, as Pima always does. Now we're expected to make a run. So, just being able on the team last year, it's prepared me and Abram Carrasco so much. I mean, from the minute we lost last year, we were back in the gym the next day, and this is our goal from the very beginning: get back to the national championship and go win it for Pima. So, being there, I mean, we were little freshmen, and when I say little, we weren't little. We were obviously some older guys, but yeah, I mean, we're ready to get back and ready to play for it again. So hopefully we get the chance to.
Right. How have you become a better player in the last year or so?
I've grown tremendously. I've with the help of Peabody and Coach H, I mean, I've extended my game. I was more of a post player last year. Now I can spread the floor a little bit. And a thing that I've really worked on, obviously, that I kind of went in on earlier was leadership. I mean, Coach Peabody and H have just really helped me grow as a leader and as a player overall. And so, I mean, from last year to this year, I mean, I've got coaches calling me and telling me, you don't even look like the same player as you were last year. And it's true. I mean, with the help of Peabody and H and Coach Dylan Hidalgo, who's now at GCU, I mean, I owe them everything just for the strides that I've taken as a player and as a person.
Yeah. What's your size? 6'7", 6'8"? 6'6"?
Yeah, I'm 6'8", like 220.
220. But you have that stroke, like you say, you're a stretch five. That's rare. These days, that's still rare, even though everybody likes to spread the court. So what's your range?
I mean, I'm first in the conference in three-point field goal percentage right now and eighth in the country. So I'm not Steph, obviously. I wish
right.
I was Steph. But I do believe I could step out there and shoot it with confidence. That's part of the game that I've really worked on this last couple of years here at Pima. So hopefully I can continue to get better at that and keep those numbers up.
No, you must take a lot of shots every day or every week, because the only way you get better at that is by taking those shots. How much do you take?
Yeah, I mean, me and my roommate, Travis Walker, who's actually a player on the team this year, we're in here every day. I try to shoot close to 300 shots a day. Between the both of us, we probably get up about 600 shots a day, and I shoot every day except for Sunday. So that's kind of the way we go about it day in and day out. And then obviously we get shots in at practice all the time. So
sure. Do you monitor how well you do just in the practice in terms of percentages? If you're shooting 300, what do you shoot?
Yeah. I normally, me and him, we do 10 shots at each spot all the way up to 300. And I'm normally around 175 to 200.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
so
65%.
Over 50%.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's not within the defense.
yeah, no, yeah, but you got to get the range before you get the defense. So that's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah. So what's I know you're looking at other schools. You must be pretty happy with what's going on to this point. And what about your teammates? Who are you hoping to see from them? I know Carrasco had a good game that one night, but he's been consistent all throughout the whole season.
Honestly, like you just said, just consistency. I mean, as a team, we just got to keep coming in day in and day out and believing in each other and doing this together. It's not going to – I mean, obviously, Abram is scoring the ball like nobody's business, but it's going to take all of us to win a national championship and to win a conference championship. But yeah, I mean, consistency is a big thing that we talk about every day, is how consistent can we be day in and day out? That's, and whoever is the toughest and the most consistent, the one's going to win a national championship this year.
Yeah, no question. In talking to Peabody last week after the Chandler game, I think it was, I said, because they try to slow you down. They try to slow you down, make you play herky jerky. And for a team that wants to run, that's difficult. And I'm thinking, you know, Brian, you're 50, you know, you're in your 50s. Does this get you older? You know, do you kind of, your gray hair is getting any more gray, and because this is kind of difficult to, you know, when they're trying to slow down a fast team. But he says, you know, that plus the injuries you guys have gone through, but you've overcome all those type of things. How's that been? How tough has that been, and how's that happened?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think Coach Peabody is getting any older. I think he might be getting younger.
he'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, it's a lot of it's come from Coach Peabody, and a lot of it's come with our young guys just stepping up. I mean, we've got a big, big time player in Jordan Robinson who stepped up huge this year for us. I mean, made some big plays on both sides of the ball, from the first game of the season to last night. He had a couple big steals and let us pull away from a good Glendale team. We're just trusting each other, to be honest. I mean, we have the motto next man up. I know a lot of teams use that, but.
Yeah.
We really truly believe that there. We really truly believe that we're one of the deepest teams in the country. So next man up is really how we play. Cole Gerken just went down with a shoulder injury a couple weeks ago, and he hasn't been able to play. And like I said, I mean, young guys have stepped up. I mean, against Phoenix, we had Nick Rosquist, who's a St. Greg's alum and one of Tucson's all-time leading scorers. And he came in and hit a couple big threes and brought a spark for us off the bench when we were down 10. So, I mean, it's just everybody believing in each other, to be honest with you.
Right, right. Well, Robbie, I appreciate talking to you today. Good luck. We'll probably go back and see you next week as you try to get back to that national tournament.
I appreciate you having me on the show.
Great. Good job. Good job. Thanks for talking to me. Hey, Bob, let's take a break here. And, hey, thanks, Robbie Wilson from South Point and Pima. See what happens with him in his future. But the basketball team at Pima looks very, very good. Maybe has a chance to make another run at a national title. We'll take a break here at 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. Now let's go back to the phone line. Let's talk to Shane Dale of ABC 15 in Phoenix. How are you, Shane?
Doing well, Steve. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Good to talk to you, and thanks for joining me. We talked to you about a month or so ago, 2 months ago probably already. You guys up in Phoenix got a lot of news going out of U of A basketball yesterday. Good and otherwise. I found yesterday's news, because I was not at the press conference, to be kind of like another Tuesday. But other people just kind of got a kick out of it. What did you guys get out of it?
I thought it was interesting, some of the reaction to it. About 99% of the negative reaction came from the city that you're currently in, I think, and the rest of it, I think, was, it's what you do. You ask, go down and ask questions. And so I told everyone who would listen, you know, I didn't have a problem with our reporter, Mike Pelton, asking the question, because I think Sean Miller should be pressed on these things. And by the way, he didn't get a chance to answer it. He asked his entire question. His question was not going to include the word subpoena. It was something along the lines of, based on, you know, on all the scrutiny surrounding the program, how have you been able to, you know, focus on the task at hand? It was going to be something similar to that Mike was going to ask, and then Sean Miller, of course, cut him off and told him where he can go.
Right, right.
People are talking about, well, you know, ABC 15 just wanted to make a name for itself. Whatever.
No.
I'm like, well, this would have been a non-story if Sean Miller hadn't said the Phoenix line, which, by the way, is only going to increase his popularity in Tucson. He knew exactly what he was doing when he said that.
Yeah, no, I heard you on another show yesterday afternoon, and I thought you made some great points, valid points. Sean's a smart man, a very smart man. One of the smartest coaches I've ever come across. He probably knows the answer before he gives it. And after, I think, was it your reporter that asked the second question as well?
He was trying to ask the one question, then he got cut off. And
right.
And I think he just had a follow-up, like, Sean, you're not going to ask the question, and then he didn't.
Yeah.
Or answer the question, and he didn't answer the question. So that was that. I think there was an original question about the subpoena specifically that Sean didn't comment on. So everyone's talking about, well, why did you ask him the same question twice? And, well, first of all, it wasn't the same question. Second of all, that's not an uncommon thing to do in
sure.
a press conference, whether it's sports-related, like watch any of Bill Belichick's pressers, or, and, you know, Mike's more on the news side, too. He's used to dealing with, you know, sheriff's departments and things like that, where you have to ask the same question a bunch of different ways in order to try to get an answer. That's part of the job. So he's looking at it from a different perspective than most of the sports guys there, too. So,
yeah.
Again, I didn't have a problem with the question, didn't have a problem with Sean Miller's answer. Again, like you said, he's a very shrewd guy. He knows it's very much like a Tucson versus the world mentality down there right now, and he was happy to play off that.
Right. No question. You're well aware of that. You're smart enough. In fact, you're a U of A grad, so you've been around the block a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You were in school when Lute was coach, correct?
I was. I graduated in 04.
04. So you kind of know Lute had that kind of temperament as well, depending on the day and depending on the question.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of the same way with Sean Miller, and really with any sports press conference. Like if there's a tough question that needs to be asked of a coach
yes.
or a player or a GM or whatever, a lot of journalists kind of look to everyone else. Like, okay, who's going to draw the short straw and ask the questions?
So, yeah.
But yeah, Lou was definitely that way. He had that very intimidating presence, and I asked him a couple questions when I got to cover a couple of UVA men's basketball games, and you're kind of just in reverence of just how much of an authority figure he is. And Sean Miller kind of comes off the same way, and it definitely works to his advantage.
Sure, sure. And I think those in the newsroom, and I heard you yesterday, I think you were, I don't know if it was you, but I guess the word cozy was brought to you. Let me kind of preface that with what I have to say. I've been around here for 30 years. I covered Lute for 23 of those, or 18, 19 years of those 23, and now Sean. But my role has changed now that the Citizen is gone and Fox Sports Arizona is gone. At least in our capacity, where you kind of pick and choose the moments that you ask those questions. And given in the climate that we're in, Sean just sits at the podium and doesn't do one-on-ones, doesn't do any of that. So asking the question in a one-on-one situation is no problem for me. I'm sure it's no problem for you. My problem with the whole mess, and it's been like this since Sean's been here, and first maybe that's, I'll give that 10 years, whatever. That if I ask the question, everybody has the answer. Is that fair to those who ask the question? Hardly. Because then you ask the question, you put yourself out on the limb to do it. In a one-on-one situation, you know, can you talk about the subpoena, Sean? That's easy. That's easy. And I'm sure you have to deal with it a lot in Phoenix, too, where the only chance you have to talk is at a podium situation, and someone's going to have to ask the question. It has to be asked by somebody. True?
Yeah, and Well, it's a very different mentality, I think, up here, Steve, compared to Tucson, because, I mean, we both know that city revolves around the University of Arizona.
Yes.
And if you get on their bad side, you know, that they can make life very, very difficult for you and make your job very, very difficult if you're a journalist. Up here in Phoenix, there's no real one entity, public or private, that controls the media cycle. And so I found that our sports teams and even ASU are a little bit more accommodating when it comes to answering questions. And U of A just isn't because, frankly, I think it's because they don't have to be. And so these are the only opportunities we get to ask Sean Miller
right.
these questions. And, you know, I mean, and that's really how it was even before he got there. You know,
yep.
U of A basketball is the crown jewel of the university, as Dave Hickey said. So, I was a little surprised at the reaction I got from some people on social media. I think it was, trying to put it delicately, I think it was an interesting way to divide the cheerleaders from the journalists,
mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it was but I do understand how tough a job it is down there, and it is tough to, like, if you, you know, ask the questions and you get on their bad side, they can make life miserable for you. And so I think it's actually beneficial that you had someone from Phoenix who doesn't have to really face you
yeah.
his wrath on a daily basis coming down to ask that question.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I said that on a tweet that you were a part of with other people. I said it was a guy asked from your place. He'll never have to come across him again. So why not? What does it matter? You know, if Bruce typically asks those questions from time to time, I might. I have no reason too much anymore because, you know, sometimes I write it, sometimes I don't. And to me, it doesn't really matter now that the paper's gone and I don't work for Fox Sports Arizona anymore. So, you know, why shoot the gun when I don't have to shoot the gun, if that makes any sense.
Right.
So, I think you're very accurate with what you just said. In terms of the making life miserable, or whatever the term you use, I kind of agree with you. Yeah, they could, but I think it would make matters worse for them. They haven't really done that. They try to, but they haven't really done that because it's more bad publicity. And the one thing I do know, at least recently, because there's been a lot of bad publicity coming out of the UA in athletic department with all the assaults and bad news and coaches and you know what I'm talking about, all that mess.
No, yeah.
That's a concern now. And this didn't help, but the negative publicity, the problem with that is they're not helping themselves.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
And along those lines, yeah, I agree with you 100%, Steve, and I'll tell you this. We've also been looking a little more into what you just mentioned, you know, some of the sex assault allegations that came out by members of the football team during that 2012-2017 period, and, of course, the whole story with the track coach and his relationship with the student-athlete. And there's, like, a lot of black eyes there, and you know long story short, we've reached out to U of A and tried to get the president and the athletic director's side of the story, just to for nothing else, for them to say, hey, look, these things happened under the previous regime, and here's how we're turning things around.
Right.
To give them the opportunity to say that, and they have declined to this point.
Right, no question.
So that surprised me a little bit, but then thinking about it and seeing some of the reaction to Mike Pelton's question yesterday, I guess it really isn't that surprising, but I am a little bit surprised that they're not taking more of an opportunity to get out in front of the media and say, look, here's what we're doing, here's what we're faced with, and here's how we're moving forward.
Yeah, you're right. No, they've kind of taken a passive approach to the whole thing. And, well, if that's what they choose to do, that's what they choose to do. As a journalist, from your end and from many people down here, you just ask the questions, and you're giving them opportunity to do that. If they don't take advantage of that opportunity, well, that's on them. It's funny too. Right. You made a great point. Is you asked the question. It could have been Bruce. Could have been anybody else in that room. The reaction to it. You asked the question. Whatever he said, no comment. But he threw that extra little zinger in there, and that created the mess.
Absolutely. It would have been a non-story.
Exactly.
If he hadn't said that. But again, he knew what he's doing.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think there's even an outlet down there that's selling T-shirts with that phrase on it already. It's already made some money. So, it's kind of a rallying cry. And I get it to a certain extent, too, because, not only because I'm a U of A alum, but because there's been a lot of negative reporting about U of A, and some of it, I think, has frankly been inaccurate. I think the Mark Schlabach story is highly questionable, to say the least.
Yes.
And so I feel like U of A students and alumni and fans are thinking they're really kind of the victim of a smear campaign. And so I think there's been a little of that, but I think that now there's kind of just this knee-jerk, visceral reaction. Well, if you criticize our university in any way or try to go after us, obviously you're out to get us, which, of course, isn't the case. I think it's important to separate the real journalism from trying to get the story without getting all the facts out there. And, again, all Mike did was ask a question.
Yeah.
And if Sean had just said, no comment, I'm going to stick to my statement from last year,
yep,
whatever, we wouldn't be talking to him right now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Let me ask you just as a side note. So you cover most of the events up there in Phoenix. When you're at a press conference, maybe ASU, and I was there at the game at ASU, how many journalists or reporters, there's kind of a separation between journalists and reporters and people who want to just show up and ask or be part of it, are in that room? One, and two, how many of them are under the age of 23, 24?
If you're talking about ASU, it's a large student contingency, especially with the Cronkite School up here.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of Cronkite journalists, members of the state press, and then you have the blogs. You have House of Sparky, which is affiliated with SB Nation up here, and you have a couple others. So, yeah, it's a lot. In fact, I remember covering going to a press conference with a hockey team, ASU's hockey team, which is in the top 10 right now in the NCAA. And there was a good turnout, but I think I might have been the oldest person there.
And you were in your 30s, maybe?
I'm 38.
38? Oh, wow, you look pretty good for 38. I hate you already.
Appreciate it.
So my point to that question, and you probably know where I'm going with this, is the older group, I don't know, 38's older group, but those younger guys are happy to be there. They're excited to be in that room. You know for sure they ain't asking that question.
And I think that's kind of the thing, is it's especially with the creation of the internet and all the online blogs and et cetera, it's kind of, I think, the line between journalists and fan has been kind of blurred a bit, and so I think that, like, a lot of the younger people who cover U of A were just, like, appalled by our question, like, how dare you ask us, Sean Miller a question a second time, and it's like, well, it's what you do.
It's what you do.
Yeah, so it's, I understand, the some of the concern about it. But yeah, it's interesting how those lines have been blurred a bit, and it seems like it's more difficult. You know, there's some websites where your job is to kind of be the fan, be the advocate of the,
yes,
of the school or the team. But there are others where it's not, and you're supposed to ask those tough questions. And I think a lot of times those lines are getting blurred, and I think that may be part of a larger discussion of the future of journalism that comes up. Maybe that'll come out of this whole thing.
Yeah, it could. So my point was exactly what I was trying to say. The younger group are not going to ask. If there's 10 people in the room in Tucson, 12 people and whatever, there's about 6 or 7 those under that age who, you know, they're not going to ask that question. So like, yeah, you said yesterday, it's going to be 2 or 3 people that might or likely will ask that question, and we move on. So yeah, that was kind of my point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. And again, like I said, my comes from like the straight news world,
right,
not the sports, mm-hmm, world, where your job is to grill public officials, and Sean Miller is a public official, the highest paid public employee in this state, on important things and important news stories, and that's what he did. And so I think it was interesting, like bringing that mentality to a room where you're usually, you don't ask tough questions, at least not more than once, and that's where the whole kerfuffle started is just the fact that Sean Miller was actually pressed on a question, because it just doesn't happen in Tucson. And like I said, I get it, but I think Mike Pelton was perfectly in line with asking the question, and like I said, I think Sean Miller was perfectly in line with giving the answer that he gave.
Yes.
It was a very very measured response.
Sure, no question. No. Someone had to ask it. It happened to be your guy, and here we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah. Thanks, you, Shane. We'll see. Are you coming down next week for the big game?
Not sure yet. I'll let you know. I'm just depends on what else I got going on. We got a lot of NFL draft coverage coming up, so just a matter of what else they have me doing up here.
I wanted to tell you, after the end of that game, drive back to Phoenix.
Yeah, that's always a tough drive, especially after the Wildcats lose.
I'm going to have to. That's right, because you're an alum, although you have no stake in the game anymore because you're a journalist. I'm going to have to find that guy who made the T-shirt. Damn him.
Yeah.
He beat me to it.
Oh, yeah, I think it was up within hours, you know. There's always profit to be made.
Smart. Hey, Shane, thank you for joining me, though. Shane Dale from ABC 15. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. That's funny. Let's go to break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and come back on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And it's kind of cool. I should have, you know what? I knew that phrase is going to be marketed somehow, but those kids or whomever did it. Fantastic.
Yeah.
If I were Sean, I would have said, I'm going to copyright that right now.
Yeah, it must, I don't know where he's got it, but you're absolutely right. Can you imagine sitting outside of McHale?
On next week.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, next week.
A couple $1,000 easy in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Miller, you get the Miller Time shirts, you got, Lutz, fantastic stuff. Now you have Drive Back to
Phoenix. Then you sit on the other side and sell Drive Back to why don't you Drive Back to Tucson shirts to ASU guys, right?
Should I? Well, yeah. Well, can I change that a little? Can I change it a little? Drive Back to Tempe. Drive Back to Tempe. Hey, go closer to home. That was a smart little move. I thought about that yesterday briefly, but, I'm not that quick in terms of being a businessman, unfortunately. But good interview with Shane Dale, talking about the media and how they've handled things up there. I got a text last night from another TV guy I know, and sometimes I'm on his show up there to talk about it, and he says, well, it didn't play well up here in Phoenix. And I'm saying, not a shock at all. But let's also remember that Sean tends to get a little snarky at times with the media. Locally, if he doesn't like the question or doesn't like the time and circumstance of that question, it happens. I like to call that Tuesday from time to time. But, he has a job to do, and we have a job to do. And I say we very delicately because I am not the journalist I used to be 10 years ago when I worked for The Citizen, because I'm just not around as much as I used to be. I do love what I do, and I'm not there asking questions as tough as Bruce is or Michael Lev, because I have no great stake in the game unless I have a stake in the game, and my stake has kind of been diminished even as I work for AllSportsTucson.com and for other sources around the country and things like that. If I have to, I have to. If I don't, I won't, because I don't have to. So here we are, and I'm now a host of this show, so I keeps me busy trying to prepare for the show, so I don't make a lot of those press conferences. It would have been probably uncomfortable and kind of funny to be there, and I've been there many times when people ask these questions, and I've asked them because you have to ask them. One time I had to ask, maybe 20 years ago, and this is the true question. Arizona had just won the national title against Kentucky in 97, and the AD, Patino was getting let go, or he was moving to the Knicks, I think it was, one of those things. He was leaving the program in Kentucky. My boss here said, well, you know, Kentucky went after Lute a couple of times. Can you call their AD to see if he's interested in getting Lute to go to Kentucky? And I'm thinking in my head, that ain't going to happen. You know that's not going to happen. Lute just won a national title, and that ain't going to happen. And he says, call him and check. You know what I had to do?
What?
I had to call him and check. So I called, God, I just lost his name, as everyone who listens to the, he just passed away, I think, the AD at Kentucky at the time. And he was an older gentleman, and I can't remember, a very famous guy. And I called him, and they put me through, a reporter from Tucson.
Really?
And I asked him the question, and he started laughing. He says, no, that's not going to happen. And I said, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for answering my question. Goodbye. And that was it. And that was it. And I didn't write the story about it, but I had to do it because my boss wanted me to do it.
Gotcha.
So,
I know something you don't.
What's that?
I know where you can find that Drive Back to Phoenix shirt.
Where is it at?
Do you want me to mention it?
Yeah, if you want. Our two listeners might want to know.
Well, I think we're up to seven. It's a listener of yours that obviously listens, because otherwise how else would they call?
Well, they call.
You're not a listener, please tune in now. It's firemiller.com, so I don't think they're a big fan of the coach. But I was I can't find it right at this second, but it's probably right with the swag there.
Well, how did they know?
How did they know we were talking about it?
No, how did they know that they could find it there?
I think they have something to do with it.
With the website?
The website or... Yeah.
Well, it's not even up on the front of the...
Well, you know, I'm going to... I bet you...
Maybe he'll call back. Or
he'll either
back.
Call back or within moments, if he's a savvy web guy, it'll be somewhere. But it might just bite me that I can't see it. Plus, we have a firewall here, so, you know, if it has like a...
Yeah, well, go down, because I saw some content maybe...
Time is now. Sign up, get directions.
This copy. No, it's not up there. So if he's trying to sell those T-shirts, this is not the place to go.
We'll get an answer.
Okay. Well, he'll call back. Or they'll call back.
Yeah.
It was a guy, gentleman?
It was a deeper voice person.
Okay.
Can't say anymore,
okay.
Steve. This is 2019.
No. It was a man.
I think he identifies as an Arizona fan, but non-Millerish.
Okay. Cool.
Is that more like a Bud guy?
You can never make everybody happy. I'm well aware of that. So.
And you know what? I'll let you talk in the last whatever of the show, okay?
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Now shut up.
Thank you, Bob. Well, and that was a quick first hour. I love those quick first hours when you're busy. It goes by very fast. In the second hour, we're going to have Ben Davis here pretty quick in about 5-6 minutes. Talk about the good old days, about Ben Davis and what he's up to. Thanks for listening in the first hour here at Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.